The question today is, who are priests today? Well, I want to say this. It's not the Catholic priest of the Catholic Church that are real priests from a Bible standpoint. I know that many today call that the church, but that's not scripturally correct. It's not the one Jesus instituted, and the priest is that they call priest is not really priest according to the Bible. What does the Bible say? You see, Jesus is our high priest. In other words, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." Of course, that's right after he just talked about we have a high priest. Verse 14, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So Jesus is our high priest today. Now the idea of a priest is that they were to offer sacrifices, and that's the way we see them throughout the Old Testament time. But Jesus, of course, offered the supreme sacrifice. So what does the Bible really show about the trail, I guess we could say, of the priest? And it lets us see who are priests today. If you go back in the Bible in beginning, or at least in the book of beginnings, in Genesis chapter 8, verse number 20, we find that this is right after Noah got off the ark, and the Lord more or less instituted human government. But it says this, "And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar." Noah did that. He was acting as the priest of the head of the family, and he was a priest for his family. Job, we read in the book of Job, how that Job offered up sacrifices for his family, just in case some of them may have done wrong, and he was faithful to do that. So the head of every family was to be the priest of that family. So God intended it for to be in the beginning. Now, that was until the law came. Now, when the law came, the Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 19, verse number 6, as Moses told the nation of Israel, he says, "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." In other words, it was the nation of Israel was to be the kingdom of priests. But Israel violated the law, and God shut up the priestly office to the family of Aaron. We find in the book of Exodus chapter 28, verse number 1, and God told Moses, "And take thou unto thee Aaron and thy brother and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's son." In other words, Aaron was the high priest that God chose from the tribe of Levi. And all Levites couldn't be a priest. It had to be of the family of Aaron. And so Aaron was the only one who could go into the Holy of Holies as the high priest and offer up sacrifices. Now, the amazing thing was he had to offer up a sacrifice first for himself because he had sinned and come short of the glory of God, and he had to offer sacrifice for himself before he could do it for the whole Israel. And so, therefore, when as the law went down through the ages, there were many different high priests that came on the scene, several, and they were all of the family of Aaron. They had any other priest was not a scriptural priest and according to the Old Testament law at that time. Now, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, what happened to the tabernacle, which is where the high priest went one time a year on the Day of Atonement and sprinkled blood upon the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies? If you'll read the Bible, when the earthquake came, the veil in the tabernacle or the temple at that time was rent, and as a result, God has done away with the Old Testament economy. The Old Testament priest no longer to offer sacrifices. Jesus became our high priest and offered his own sacrifice yonder in the holy heavens, in the holy place in the heaven. And he sprinkled his blood, and God was satisfied with the sacrifice, and Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father. So therefore, the priesthood, as far as the Aaron priesthood, was done away with. But who are the priests today? Well, let's look at the Bible. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 9, he says this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, he said, "But ye," and "ye" is talking, of course, to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood. He's talking about the saints of God. He's talking about believers in Christ, those who genuinely been saved. He said, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So when Jesus died on the cross, we see then that the kingdom of priests no longer exists, but that every believer is now a priest. It's not someone who wears their collar backwards or their coat backwards, if you please, and calls himself Father and has people confess sin to him. Who can forgive sin but God only? Man has not that capability. We need to go boldly to the throne of grace and confess to our high priest, who's the Lord Jesus, if you please. And he only can forgive sin because he's God. And so, therefore, the believers are the priests today. Now, remember, it also says in the book of Revelation, John the seer saw this in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 6, as he's talking here. And he said, and he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Because he's washed us in his blood, he hath made us kings and priests. So therefore, all believers are priests, and they have a duty to offer up sacrifices. Now, when we think about sacrifices, we think about the Old Testament economy, which of course was sacrifices of dead sacrifices. But we're not to offer up dead sacrifices anymore. Jesus, the supreme sacrifice, satisfied God. He rent, and Jesus and God rent the veil in the tabernacle, the temple, so there's no longer any need for that Old Testament type of sacrifices that was made of blood and goats and blood of the bulls and goats and whatnot of that. But as a priest, and we are a priest today, as every believer priest, he has a royal priesthood, and he has a duty to offer up sacrifices. Romans 12:1 tells us one of these sacrifices that we're to offer up. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that's the saints of God, those from the same womb, those from the womb of Holy Ghost conviction, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. How are we to present that living sacrifice? Our bodies. How? Holy, set apart, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You claim the name of Christ. You have a responsibility to clothe this body right, to carry this body to the right place, because he said, as a priest, you're to offer that sacrifice to God, and it's to be a holy sacrifice. The Lord said, be ye holy as I'm holy. That's set apart. That's because we've had a sanctifying work of the Spirit done in our lives. And we need to be holy in that sense, set apart in that sense. But it needs to be acceptable unto God. You said, but old preacher, you're just asking too much. I'm not asking you. The Lord said that we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. But he also said, this which is your reasonable service. That's reasonable to offer your body unto the Lord as a sacrifice. Why? Because you're a priest. You have that responsibility. Now, another thing that he spoke of in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse number 15, he said, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So the sacrifice we're to offer as priests today is not a dead sacrifice, but he said we need to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That involves thanksgiving. That involves eulogizing, lifting up our Lord, and respecting him of who he is and what his real position, if you please. But he said that's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. If we're not thankful, we're headed to trouble. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 1, if we are unthankful, if we have ingratitude, that will lead to ignorance, because what light we had becomes darkness if we're unthankful. But if we've really been saved, we are to offer sacrifice as a believer priest, and that is of a praise unto God. But he also said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 16, he said, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. He said, the sacrifice he's well pleased with is to communicate. Now, that's involving in speaking. I understand that. But it's more than that. The word communicate means to share what we have with others. In other words, share that we've got, that God has given us with others. Share with those what we have. Now, what do we have? We have the grace of God. We have if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've got a new life. You're a new creature in Christ. You have a testimony of what the Lord's done for you. And you have the grace of God, the sanctifying grace that enables you day by day to have victory over the power of sin through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you're going to have some as you read and study and grow in grace, you're going to have some nuggets that God's going to show you out of His Word that you need to share with others. Share what God's given you. And the grace of God, the healing of God, the hand of God, whatever it is that God's done for you, you need to share that with others. That's a sacrifice He's well pleased. Communicate and forget not. And for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So tell others what Jesus has done for you. Don't hold back on that, but be willing to speak up for what He's done for you, His goodness, His long-suffering, His forbearance that worked in you a space of repentance. So the work of Holy Ghost conviction that brought you to the end of yourself that you might be saved. We have too many today with this little easy-bleasism plan, just saying 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and saying that it's okay for you to do that because, in other words, that's the way they say people are saved, but not so. It's a work of God. It's a sanctifying work of the Spirit, and it must be complete in all areas of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So share that with people. You can give a testimony, and a testimony is basically to me to be a first-hand detailed account of what the Lord's done for you. And detailed, it needs to be that because there's specifics that goes along with it. So we're to offer sacrifices, a living sacrifice of our body, of praise unto God, of communicating, sharing what God's given us with others. But also, Psalm 51:17, even though this is Old Testament, it still tells us what we need to do. But David said this as he wept his way back to God and was forgiven. But he says this in verse 17 of Psalm 51, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise." I want to tell you, we need to offer unto God a broken heart, if you please. One that's broken over our sin, if we have sin in our life after we're saved, is willing to confess it, but also one with humility and brokenness over the souls of men that's dying. It's so sad to look out and see people who think they're saved and not saved, and they need an intercessor, somebody to stand up in between them and God and to keep on keeping on. And it's sad when we see that our hearts ought to be broken over that, and God said, "That's a sacrifice I'm well pleased with." So, who are priests today? It's not the Catholic priest. It's not any priest of any denomination. It's not the preacher in a Baptist church. But it was in the beginning the head of the family until the law came, and then Israel was shut up as a kingdom of priests. And then when Israel violated the law, God shut up the priestly office to Aaron's family. And then when Christ died on the cross, the veil was rent, and believers now are priests, and we're to offer living sacrifice, praise unto God, share what we've given to Him, and a broken and a contrite heart unto Him. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.